Very much. Let's move on to item 1078.
Extend term of street closure program in Old Town Chinatown for a period of 1 year.
So Commander Day is here, as well as some other invited testimony on this. You know, we've had a street closure advisory committee that's been working with Commander Day and with the Police Bureau. Our neighborhood association has been very engaged. So Howard Weiner is here from Old Town Chinatown Neighborhood Community Association. Jay Isaac is here representing some of the property owners in the district. And Boris Gaganovich from Better Block PDX are here. So we look forward to hearing from each of you about where we are and where we hope to go. Commander Day.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Council. I'd be remiss from the Police Bureau if I didn't bring more numbers, stats, and pictures and graphs. So that's what's being handed out to you. Included in the ordinance package is also additional data. The ordinance contains printouts from data that's basically just numbers comparing us through August of this year and then 2013 and 2012. As you remember, the ordinance went into effect in, towards the end of 2012. The information that I just provided with you is a more comprehensive one-year comparison, a full year of 2013 with the ordinance and 2012 without the ordinance. So not to confuse the issue a little bit, just so you know that what I appreciate about the document that I just handed out to you is it does highlight a good one-year comparison versus just, you know, the first 6 or 8 months of this year. And that one-year-to-one-year comparison showed a 30% decrease in calls for service. We saw a 50% increase in self-initiated activity by the officers. And we also saw a 40% decrease in Part 1 offenses and a 25% reduction in Part 2 offenses.
What's a Part 1 or a Part 2?
Part 1 offenses are essentially your more serious offenses like robbery, aggravated assaults versus simple assaults. So aggravated assaults would be Measure 11 type violence. Some larceny, theft, and so forth can be included in the Part 1. Part 2 is your disorderly conduct, simple assaults, some of those type of charges.
Are there other parts, or is it just Part 1?
It's Part 1 and Part 2.
And what are they Part 1 and Part 2 of?
I'm not sure how that gets characterized. UCR is the Uniform Crime Reporting Statistics by the Feds. That's how they characterize it.
Thank you.
And so, you know, in short, just on the surface, those are pretty significant numbers, and we're very proud of those in terms of just basic crime reduction statistics at their core. I think this council is aware that my passion, motivation at Central Precinct is not simply about enforcement. What I'm most proud about this program is more of the community outreach and the engagement that it's allowed. First of all, I want to thank the mayor for his support. I want to thank Chad, who's done a lot of heavy lifting over the last year and with the stakeholder group. I want to thank Lieutenant Galladay and Sergeant Strohmeyer and really the officers of the entertainment detail who are out there every weekend on a consistent basis developing this program, making it work, and also just the way that you'll see demonstrated today that the communities come together, both the nightlife community as well as the daytime community. I have come to have a huge appreciation for that part of our city and the community involvement. Some of the things we've been able to do because of this street closure, in addition to the reduction in calls for service and crime, and really my motivation at the beginning of this was public safety as the tip of the spear, which obviously is a key for me. But we've also been able to strengthen our community relationships. We provide ongoing security training for many of the establishments down there. One example is we had a bar outside of the closure, but they did have a shooting inside the bar. Very concerning to us. We met with them. They had lax security procedures. After training and meeting with that bar, their new measures have stopped 2 guns from coming into that business just since that shooting based upon the training we provided. We have our annual bar summits. In a positive way, our entertainment detail is probably trending more in social media for bachelorette party pictures and bachelor party pictures and scavenger hunts. And I know when the mayor was down there a year ago with myself, we were stopped and photographed. It's a great community outreach, as well as really the opportunity, because of the visibility of the officers to the community and for the officers being able to see better, creates us an opportunity to intervene at a much sooner level on many of these incidents that can rise to serious assaults. You know, unfortunately, but I'm always candid about the realities, you know, we did have four shootings downtown, five including that bar, but four shootings downtown this summer, and yet all four of those occurred outside of the closure, and they were occurred in a parking lot or a flat lot. And our argument and assessment being that, you know, we've done a good job in working in conjunction with the bar owners to have good security measures in place. A lot of the troublemakers leave their guns in their cars and don't try and bring them into the bars. And by having an area, the most highly populated area, densely populated area, you know, largely free, hopefully, as we go forward, as we've established this gun, lack of gun violence has been very encouraging. And that's another argument for why we appreciate having the support of the closure. And finally, you know, it's been exciting for me to see our officers also not only in the area of outreach, but develop an expertise in, you know, understanding OLCC, understanding our city rules, working with other bureaus, Fire Bureau, ONI, et cetera, that, you know, it really has become more of a collaborative effort for the city on that particular area. And our desire is to expand that. Our officers have been called upon by other precincts in the Bureau to come out and address problem locations with their expertise and knowledge, and also with the resources that they understand are available. You know, when we went into this closure, several of the bars down there were on TPM ordinances, time, place, manner ordinances for various violations. As recently as just a few months ago, there were no TPMs on any of the establishments in that particular area, and I think that's because it's allowed us to mitigate issues earlier, it's allowed us to have better relationships and better understanding of their needs, as well as their they understand our expectations better. And, you know, if we can reduce that as well, that's a win. So obviously I'm an advocate for this, and the way the ordinance is written, as I'm looking forward to, as we continue to look at different methodologies and different ways to manage this area. And I know that the community and Jay and so forth will speak to that, and I'm very much in favor of continuing to see this evolve. I said to council when I was here a year and a half ago, you know, I'm not married to this. This isn't the Bob Day plan. This is a passion of mine in terms of public safety and community outreach. But I'm always open to new ideas, and I know the ordinance creates opportunity for that and welcome that. So thank you.
Right. Thank you. Questions for Commander Day?
Commander, I had one question, which is some of the business owners in the area have said that they think that a lot of the bad conduct was conducted by patrons of a couple of establishments that have since closed. So they've indicated they think that with those establishments closed, there's sort of less to worry about. And I just wanted you to address that and explain why you think that in spite of the closure of those establishments, you think that some continued work is necessary.
Well, just speaking a little bit anecdotally and also from personal experience, some of the problem businesses have closed. There's no shortage of renewal. There's been some great businesses step in there, and I think that is the passion or the hope is that those businesses will add to the positive environment. But right now, I just think it's too soon. We don't have enough time frame to really evaluate against that in terms of, you know, whether those businesses closing and the new ones that have opened that are having a positive influence are really making that change. As I said, in the numbers attached to the ordinance, some of our assault numbers are up a little bit, and I'm trying to ask for a more detailed explanation because trying to identify if those are assault numbers that are occurring in the street or if those are assault numbers occurring inside a business that spills out on the street, and I think it's important to differentiate. So I appreciate that, and we're very aware of it. I know that there'll be testimony today from some of the new owners downtown that have done some great work, so we are seeing that.
I have a question, Commander, and I'm going to ask it also to Jay when he testifies. But we have very good data on that you've given us on enforcement and crime analysis. What we're hearing anecdotally from some businesses in the area is that this plan has impacted their bottom line. So what data do we have on the financial impact that this plan has on any of the businesses that operate?
And we've heard that as well. You know, I want to express to council that I'm sensitive to that. As I've spoken before, I see public safety as having a role now, since my experience at Central Precinct, far broader than just about enforcement. One of our roles in public safety is to help create an environment in a community where business can thrive. In this particular situation, I believe the issues were significant enough to propose certainly a dramatic step towards curbing that. you know, from our perspective, and this is not to discount the business owners, from our perspective, you know, we continue to see long lines out the door. We continue to see a very active nightlife down there. You know, the only thing we have to base off of is capacity numbers and, you know, checking in with door personnel and security personnel, because, you know, we're not privy to that bottom line. So, you know, I'm sure that when Jay gets to an opportunity to speak, he'll address that. But we have heard those concerns. I'm very much sensitive to those, and want us to continue to explore that.
And maybe one of, if it's the will of the council to support this ordinance and to continue the program, one thing I would ask you to consider is, how might we quantify that? We're not well equipped to do so. We field complaints, concerns. You know, they're anecdotal until someone shows us a P&L statement, or we see an end of the year business license tax payment or whatever. So if you could give some thought to how we might try to quantify it. And also, we're not in the best position individually to handle the complaints that come in. I mean, a concern by a business might be addressed by looking at the parking around their location, or working with them on some custom plan. That's not something that we as individual commissioners are well equipped to address. So I would welcome your thoughts before this hearing's over on how we can get some data going forward that gives us the ability to track with the same level of precision that you've given us on the crime analysis.
And I appreciate that. I mean, I recognize this has been a public safety-driven measure. Jay and I had a conversation hallway before we came in about the importance of other bureaus, specifically PBOT and others, to help us gather that information. I think those are steps that we want to take going forward so we have a better understanding.
Thank you. And by the way, about, I don't know, 10 days ago or something, you got a call, I believe, on a Saturday or Sunday from the chief about an acute problem that was occurring in Northwest. And it involved a true public safety threat, and including folks operating a community garden that found syringes and it came this close to being contaminated because of the syringes. And I think by Monday you had a complete plan of action, which you share with the mayor and me, and within 2 days you had addressed the illegal conduct that was occurring there. And I just want to publicly thank you for your responsiveness.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I'm proud of the work that we're doing in the area of Central Precinct in a very compassionate enforcement type model, where, you know, in that particular case there was not a need to make arrests, but we were able to direct people to resources and understand expectations, and we were able to be effective. So I appreciate that.
Amanda, could you talk about the Fire Bureau's enforcement of capacity regulations?
I can. Sergeant Strohmeyer is seated behind me. He works very closely with the Fire Bureau inspectors. So, Eric, if I speak out of line, feel free to correct me. But we do work hand-in-hand down there with both the Fire Bureau and with OLCC. And really try to defer to them on their areas of expertise. So, for example, we're not in the business of, you know, walking into clubs and saying, hey, you have too many people in here, you can't do this, or we need to, you know, slow this down so we can get some people out. We really ask for them to step up and be the lead on that, because they're the experts. You know, same way with OLCC, they handle a lot of the, you know, false ID, underage drinking. A lot of that enforcement defaults to them because they're present with us, and that's also their area of expertise. I know there's been some concern over the past year with capacity issues around clubs, and you know, we're constantly in communication with Chief Jensen and with the staff in the Fire Bureau Inspector's Office, making sure that, you know, we're doing our diligence on our part. We will support them, but it's really an effort led by them when it comes to capacity issues. We just simply provide the presence if need be to, you know, hold the line, for example. If they say no more in for 20 minutes, we'll make sure that we stand by to do that.
And has the OLCC been fully present in adequate numbers?
Yes, they've been very supportive. They have a great team down there, been very supportive.
Great. Thank you very much. Howard, welcome.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Howard Weiner. I chair the Old Town Chinatown Community Association. First, I want to thank you, Mayor, and Bob Day, for really the good work that's being done in Old Town Chinatown, and the whole council. Thank you for your focus in Old Town Chinatown. Might not all agree on every step that we need to take, but I think we all agree that Old Town Chinatown needs help in many ways. With that said, the Old Town Chinatown, the pilot project really started as a genesis from Commander Day coming to our public safety group a few years ago, and it was public safety driven. And yes, businesses complain. People don't like getting their cars towed and so on and so forth. But as a public safety measure, it's been successful since its get-go. The question now, to me, is going forward, what should we be doing? And so for the last year, under the mayor's office, and Chad Stover is his policy person, we've been meeting and coming up with recommendations that we thought could make it better, better for businesses, better for folks who come down into the neighborhood, people who work. And now it's really time to take those recommendations and go into an action mode. And so my thoughts are that over the next year, we will continue with this group that has met. We'll shift the focus from the mayor's office to the community, and we'll move into, I'll call it experimental stages, where we're going to try different ways of closing the streets, always working with the police, and obviously having to have their support, but trying to get it right. The goal is to get it, to me, where businesses can prosper, folks can come down and have a good time in Old Town, but be safe. And then in addition to that, and this goes beyond the street closure, PBOT has been coming to our meetings lately, and we really started this discussion on public safety for pedestrians 24/7 in Old Town Chinatown. For those who, you've all been down there, but 2nd, 3rd, 4th Avenue between Gleason and Burnside, there's no lights. So essentially, and there's no crosswalks, pretty much. So the bottom line is you take your life in your hands. So whatever we do over the next year, hopefully we'll end up with a safer neighborhood, and we'll end up with a street closure or street maintenance, I don't know what word we really use, that really works for everyone. So I'm trying to be brief today. You've had a lot of testimony, but if you have any questions, that is fine. But I will make my commitment that the leadership I've shown in Old Town Chinatown, I will continue over the next year with this new committee that we put together and get it right.
Thank you. Thanks for that commitment, too. We need your help. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jay, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, Mayor Hales and commissioners. For the record, my name is Jay E. Isaac with CFM. I'm here representing my clients, David Lycan and Oregon Theater Management. I'd like also to begin by acknowledging and expressing our gratitude for the hard work and creative thinking that has been done by the Old Town Chinatown Community Association, its hospitality group, the Street Closure Advisory Committee, the mayor and his staff, the Portland Police Department, and Better Block Portland. This has been a true partnership between a concerned city government and a proactive neighborhood association and its businesses. We especially appreciate Mayor Hale's personal attention to the neighborhood and this issue. All the hard work over the past year has resulted in several recommendations concerning modifications to the existing street closure structure, timing, and procedures. We support the passage of the ordinance before you today because it calls for immediate testing of these recommendations, which are attached as exhibits. These recommendations are designed to retain the public safety benefits of the current procedures while making the closure area more accessible and more inviting to the public. Many of these recommendations have already been tested successfully on a short-term basis. Immediate testing on a long-term basis is necessary because businesses within the closure area and some nearby have seen dramatic decreases in attendance and revenues since the closure began 2 years ago. Unless action is taken now, we fear that we may lose some more of these businesses, which could start a downward spiral in the neighborhood. Instead, we believe that if these modifications are tested, we believe they will show that they can be successfully implemented, and that can be the start of a bright and exciting future for Old Town Chinatown. I would also like to mention an example of the proactive work on the part of the Old Town Chinatown Community Association's Hospitality Group. It's a best practices document, and that is also an exhibit to the ordinance. This document was drafted by the leaders of the Hospitality Group. It's based on best practices for bars and nightclubs around the country. Members of the group are adopting these practices voluntarily and are making the document and instructions concerning it available to other hospitality operators in the city. This will be a big step forward in ensuring safe and responsible liquor service in Old Town Chinatown and the city as a whole. I would like to close by acknowledging and thanking Sergeant Eric Strohmeyer and his officers for the excellent job they do every weekend. We believe their hard work, professionalism, and dedication is the principal cause of the crime reduction that Commander Day mentioned. And we are glad that their work is going to continue. Thank you for support of the ordinance. Thank you for supporting immediate testing of the recommendations and your support for the Old Town Chinatown neighborhood.
Thank you. Questions for Jay?
a couple of questions, and thanks for your thoughtful testimony. Are you comfortable with the one-year extension?
Yes, and all of the businesses that I've talked to and Howard and the Neighborhood Association feel that, there should be a street closure, because the alternative here would be to just do away with the street closure altogether. But all of the people that I've been working with and that represent the majority of the businesses within and without the closure do support continuing it with some modifications. And the ordinance is written so that if that testing shows that there is a problem with some of these changes, you can go right back to status quo ante. But we think it's really, many of these things need to be tested immediately, like opening Davis, which was done on it for a one-month basis. And Officer Galladay mentioned that there were no public safety issues involved in it. It's more of a traffic issue. And, it's been previously talked about that we do need PBOT's help in instituting some of these things. But yes, a one-year basis with this testing is what we support.
Now, my own personal view is that local solutions with a flexible roadmap is the way to get the best outcome. So, I conceptually, I'm there. I want to make sure, though, there is an appropriate role for the council if as we continue to fine-tune the public safety components, we continue to hear a chorus of business owners saying there's a cost and it needs to be addressed, and it doesn't get addressed through this process. What is the council's role in your view?
Well, hopefully the council can be supportive where funding is necessary. But see, some of the changes that we're proposing will actually reduce the costs that you're currently looking at in the area, because we're talking about decreasing the size of it a bit in terms of opening Davis, because right now it starts at Everett. And we're talking about seasonality, perhaps. We're talking about starting later at 11 o'clock instead of 10. Going to bars late at night, that's not my demographic, but I have been doing that. Over the last
record several
days.
The record is clear that the mayor has been doing it and being photographed.
Exactly.
There's actually a physical record of his
exactly.
Activity.
And the amazing thing is that the young people who do come out to these establishments don't show up until 11:30 or midnight. And so it's a very, very late night situation. So, you had asked Commissioner Fish about this decrease, and Commissioner Novick had, or I'm sorry, Commissioner Fritz has asked about this issue of being at capacity. And yes, many of these establishments do hit capacity, but it's at that 11:30, 12 o'clock time frame. And the issue here is if we make this area more inviting and open and accessible, then people of my demographics, perhaps who want to go to a late dinner, can get in and out before the closure takes place. And the closure starting when it does and being as large an area as it is perhaps making the duration of the time when these establishments are at capacity shorter. And, you know, and then you have the question of towing being a black stain on the entire neighborhood. So even on nights when, you know, you're not having the closure, because that's only on Friday and Saturdays, are people afraid that their car is going to get towed or whatever? So these are all things that, you know, we think we can work through.
And Jay, thank you. And my final question for you is, how do we quantify the impact on businesses? Again, we have people approach us all the time with anecdotal concerns, and that they're perfectly valid, but
yes,
how might we quantify that so we would know whether we've reached a tipping point?
Two answers to that. One is we are attempting to get from our members, data in writing that you can look at. But I think the real, the best evidence of the fact that the closure as it's currently, being operated is hurting these businesses is how hard they are working to try to come up with alternatives. It's clear that all the businesses are doing more poorly than they had before the street closure started 2 years ago. But we will try and get you actual data of what that means on a percentage basis.
Let's be clear. It isn't just a district with big bars. I mean, there are lots. There are different kinds of businesses. So
exactly.
If it's impacting a restaurant, it's impacting Darcelle's, if it's impacting other places, it isn't just the places that are, maybe at capacity.
Correct. Excellent point. For example, and here's a number, and this was shared with us by an operator, and Dan Linson can talk about this. I believe he's going to testify later. But during the one-month test of opening Davis, one of the restaurants in the area saw a 30% increase in their business that month. So, so it's clear that we can make changes that won't, compromise public safety and make a difference to these businesses.
Thank you very much.
I have a question for all three of you, and that is, what's your opinion on why the Part 1 crimes are so up this year? Because they're already more at presumably the end of September than they were for the whole of last year.
Right.
And it looked like they're
right.
going to even take...
Particularly troubling for me in that statistic, Commissioner, is the aggravated assault number, which is at 8, I believe.
Yeah.
And I, just in the last couple of days, have been trying to vet that. One of a couple of things that have come to my attention. One, there was a record-keeping miscoding number there where I could say we're probably more at 6 than we are at 8, just in terms of how it was entered into the record-keeping system. The other part of it that we've noticed is a couple of those were large-scale fights with multiple victims, and so therefore, you have one event that occurs, but you might have two or three victims, which also makes the number higher. And then the piece that I have not been able to vet is how many of those have started inside a business and then wound up in the street versus separating out what's happening in the street. Because I do think that there's a difference there in terms of how the closure impacts the activity level. We're really focused on the activity outside, not inside. So, but we need to do a better job of actually going through those reports. And I met with the detail this morning and asked them to look at that because it is concerning to me to see that increase.
Well, yeah, I mean the entire premise for the closure is to make it safer.
Exactly.
And if the violent crimes back up to before the closure, I think that does call into question whether we should continue the program or try to make it something else.
Right. I understand.
I have a different take on it, and that's that I believe having more police in the area, we actually have more opportunity to stop crimes as they're being committed. Sometimes crime goes unreported, is my point. And so having more officers, more eyes on the streets, could also be a reason why numbers go up.
Yeah, except these are the serious crimes that the number, the overall crime is down. So
yeah.
I think is evidence that officers are intervening earlier and mm-hmm. not preventing problems.
Yeah.
The fact that the violent crimes are up this year is quite concerning.
Well, it's troubling. Anytime crime goes up, it's troubling. But that was my quick. I'm not an officer, and I'm not up at 1 in the morning, so I'm not there.
That's on an occasional basis. thank all three of you. And actually, as we call Boris up for the fourth of our invited speakers, it really gets back to the issue of the rest of the council's engagement in this. This amazing experiment that Better Block conducted 2 weekends ago, Commissioner Novick and I were both there able to see it. It raises the point that the next phase of this partnership involves more bureaus than the Police Bureau and the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. It also involves PBOT and perhaps the Portland Development Commission and perhaps other bureaus as well. So, and it raises the question of there are ways in which to spend capital dollars that might over time reduce operating costs. If you create a safe environment where people are there, as we saw in this Better Block experiment, there's less calls for police service if it's done right and if it's maintained and if it's programmed. So I just want to thank you, Boris, and your team for this great experiment. He's got a little presentation for how it went.
Sure. I wonder if we can play it on the big screen.
Let's give it a try.
Oh, wonderful.
Carla, yep, there you go. You're queued up.
So part of what led to this whole thing is there was this kind of the question of what to do, first of all, with the future of the closure. And there was the concerns of the police, which are very valid, about how to best deploy, how to best have kind of eyes on the street that can have all the lines of sight that you'd want, along with how do we reactivate Third Avenue during the day and kind of meld together the different behavior of the street on the north side and south side of Burnside and kind of drive the activity that's amazing at the Saturday market and around Voodoo Donut further into Old Town. And because we know we can't get it right from the first time, we do all these, this kind of the mantra of the Better Block project nationwide of let's deliver a 2 or 3 day test, show what works, what doesn't work, and then learn from there what to do next for a longer test program. So our initial vision was to take what was currently a 3-lane one-way with a really wide cross-section by Voodoo Donut, which is like 5 lanes wide, and to funnel it down to 1 lane with a protected bikeway and additional pedestrian space, kind of just to test what's the best case scenario for pedestrian access looks like, what actually happens to traffic on Friday, AM and PM rush hour. And this way we can actually learn based on empirical data what happens. And we approached all the community, basically for the first, this whole project happened in roughly a month. I mean, it was a month and a week from when we first got engaged with the community associations and the business community to actually putting hardware on the street. And for community, for a completely volunteer-led organization where everyone has day jobs, it was a lot of work. So we, for 2.5 weeks, we went to meetings with every community group, police department, fire bureau, that we could get our hands on. And our real goal there was to eliminate all of the no's and make sure that everyone signed on to what we were doing. It was a 3-day demonstration. If it didn't work, it went away. The fire bureau was gracious enough to actually roll their largest fire truck through 3 or 4 times until we got it right so that their turning radii were correct. If you followed the traffic manual, you would never be able to make a street this narrow with a fire truck that large. But if you empirically test it, you can get away with a much narrower lane. We worked with the social service providers and Clean and Safe to make sure that the 3-day demonstration project was as successful as it could be and the needs of all the stakeholders were met. And for the most part, it worked amazingly well. There were definitely a few tweaks that needed adjustment, but the concepts of being able to bring a more wholesome crowd to Old Town, be able to activate the street during the day, you'll see later in the videos that it worked. We put in a temporary crosswalk in Ankeny that was probably the safest crosswalk in the whole city of Portland. We had 100% compliance, more or less, between motorists and pedestrians crossing. Because traffic speeds fell from, I mean, outside of rush hour, you had 35, 40-mile-an-hour streets that were now 14-mile-an-hour streets that were safe to cross. You only had 1 lane to cross. It was just a pleasure to watch. You had families come in from the east side of town that rarely visit the west side of town unless they have to for work. And we put in bike corrals at the far end of the block, and all of these people were spending money at the local businesses that would otherwise never come to the west side of Portland. The local community, we brought them out to, in a positive way. We didn't displace anyone. All of the local social service providers were still there. All of the folks that typically would frequent the neighborhood were there, but were brought out in a positive way. And plus, we were able to bring all these additional people to the street that normally wouldn't come. What we quickly learned is 3 days heads up isn't enough to bring in all the temporary pop-up retailers we were hoping to bring in. This whole project, given that it happened in about a month, we had our last planter boxes built 2 days before the event. We gave the retailers 3 days notice. Our ping pong tables we arranged 3 days in advance. Everything was super, super last minute. So kind of the longer-term vision is, how do we bring in some kind of public market or farmer's market as an extension of Saturday market, bridging both the north and south side of Burnside, so that this public space that we put in can be used in a positive way, and folks can have an opportunity to shop, grab a bite to eat for breakfast on their way into work with all these new businesses coming into Old Town, pop in and grab some vegetables to take home during their lunch break, and maybe even pop over there and grab something before heading home. Whether someone is driving home, taking transit home, biking home, walking, whatever it is, it's an amenity that's accessible to all users. So quick adjustments that we learned is, so some of the users definitely need loading zones, and we weren't very good at accommodating that. So Dante's, we need a very clearly marked loading zone if any of this stuff goes forward. Union Gospel and Barrel Room also need loading zones, but we were able to get them in without any problems. On the south side of the Ankeny Plaza, a marked taxi loading zone could be useful. And given that you need a kind of a radius curve there anyway to accommodate fire trucks, it could squeeze in pretty well. If you're doing a one-lane street next to a protected bikeway, there has to be mountable curbs, because otherwise the emergency vehicles can't get around in the event of an emergency. The bikeway has to be wide enough to basically get your emergency vehicles through. And like I said before, you got to give more than 3 days' notice to program your public spaces north of Burnside. The rush hour traffic on Friday afternoon we thought was a little bit worse than we would have liked. And just talking with the city traffic engineers who got to watch, there's opportunity there to make some adjustments between Cooch and Burnside to eliminate that issue, or to maybe even adjust the traffic signal there a little bit. And we may have some ideas about putting some parking on Burnside off of rush hour to compensate for the lost parking on 3rd Avenue. So next steps, and some of this falls on the businesses, where we do need a business improvement district to program, clean, patrol, I guess, this public space that's going to be provided. The businesses are going to have to step up here. We would like to do another test redesign based on what we learned. This may be a week, maybe a month. Longer duration is easier, because especially with us being volunteers, 3 days was really hard. And Ankeny Plaza was pretty much ready to activate today. There is the pedestrian vitality there that you can use up all effectively wasted asphalt there to make it an amazing place. And north of Burnside, as we prepare programming, we can phase in the transition from whether it be a moving lane or a parking lane to another use. And there's kind of a nice little photo up of all our volunteers. This isn't actually all of them. This is about half. This is the crew that showed up to help us set up in the morning. So showing kind of a before and after of the transformation. Let me see if I can quick zoom out to 50%. Maybe less than 50. 40%? We're going to do a little scrolling. So based on what we learned, first of all, the easy wins are to put in crosswalks at basically marked crosswalks at Ankeny, Cooch, and Davis. So if I scroll that away. The driveway access for the parking lot between Ankeny and Ash needs to be maintained, or Ankeny and Burnside needs to be maintained, as well as for Boiler Room. And then going on to loading zones. So Union Gospel and Dante's / Voodoo Donut and the kind of all the businesses of the Ankeny Alley could definitely make use of loading zones in these areas. And just thinking further ahead, based on which spaces were kind of hard for us to activate initially, even along Voodoo Donut area, this green stuff that I marked here, there's room to squeeze in some parking here without any huge negative impacts for pedestrian vitality, and maybe a left-turn pocket lane here to accommodate traffic during the PM rush that could kind of be transitioned to just one lane during the existing closure hours. So this is just immediate reaction stuff. There's definitely stuff to talk about here. And that's what we wanted to test kind of as a follow-up. And now I'm going to show you a video that we finished last night. So everything, as usual, super last minute.
What do you think about what's going on here?
As a business owner down in the Old Town Chinatown district, I think this is absolutely an amazing plan. Looks like it's been working extremely well. We had great results last night. You know, it's a little bit getting used to it for everybody that's traveling down here who's been used to the street closure. But I think if we can eventually close this down as a permanent plaza for pedestrians, it'll be absolutely amazing.
You got these two lanes that are sitting there just waiting for picnic tables and community and people milling about. It's going to add to this old town experience.
Where I live in Grants Pass, it's got its nice qualities, but it doesn't have anything like this.
What do you think it'll mean for kind of the daytime scene in Old Town if something like this were to be permanent?
You know, key for us business owners really is to try to activate our daytime storefronts, and that's been a real challenge for us down here during the day. So to bring that Parisian-style cafe atmosphere down here will really suit. It would be amazing.
Bring some of the energy from Saturday Market down into the Old Town area, get some more activity down here, bring some business in, be great for everybody.
Is it going as you'd expect? Are you surprised by anything? I mean, what do you think?
It seems to be pretty smooth. I wish there had been a few more vendors this first weekend, but it is a pilot project, so it's easy to picture what it could be. And there's certainly a lot of activity on the other side of Burnside right now, so let's bring some down to Old Town.
So as you kind of look at this, you know, is it made to think of new ideas about what to do in Old Town and kind of what it could become?
Well, it definitely opens my eyes to what it could be. This could become something busy during, vibrant during the day as well as at night. Right now we have, it's already the entertainment district at night, but be good to get some business down here during the day as well.
The things are moving smoothly. It's going really good. I love how the control is happening on all every intersection. People are interested in it. They're talking about it. We've got people seated here. It's just awesome. And business owners, they can see what this could do. We have to all now be at the same table.
Cool.
That's the right question. What do I think of this place? It's a place all of a sudden. I think it's so surprising to see that when you create a place for people, they show up.
Very good. Thank you very much. Questions for Boris and for the amazing team from Better Block PDX?
Not a question, but a comment. I have to say that I've obviously, over the last 20 years, noticed the extraordinary width of Third Avenue at that point, and it should have been obvious to me that the proper use of a chunk of that space is ping pong tables. And so thank you for demonstrating. It should have been obvious to all of us long ago.
Commissioner Novick.
Nice work. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there others that want to speak, signed up?
Yes, we have seven more people signed up. The first three, please come on up. Are Jeffrey, I believe it's Geiger, or Geigel, sorry, Geiger, thanks. Robert West and Dan Lenzen.
Welcome. Go ahead, Jim.
All right, I'm Jeff, I guess, I'll wait. All right, I'm Jeff Geiger with JGPolitics.com. I've been covering the police down there, what they do every Friday and sometimes Saturday. So what have I seen? Pretty much what I would consider from Sergeant Strohmeyer and the other officers would be the gold standard of what you want to see from policing. They see what's going on and they immediately address it. So they see people that are intoxicated and they immediately address, do they need to go to detox, the social detox, which would be Cheers, or do they need to get in contact with their friends? I've seen them see people come at each other like they're about to get into a fight and immediately stop it and get them to go separate ways. So that avoids an assault or a simple assault or altercation of some form. And with at least how it's been traditionally where they close off that entire thing, they're allowed to run from one block to the other, and that quickly gets them to be able to either cross Burnside or get to the parking lot, which is the 4th and Cooch right there. That parking lot seems to be where some of the fights happen and clubs around there. And having Cooch closed like that allows them to do that. And I think that's an important step in giving them the freedom of movement, because you need to run, and running and stopping slows you down. So they just do a really great job, and I think keeping that is an important thing. But if there's improvements needed, then improvements need to happen. It's just what I've seen.
Great. Thank you. Thanks very much.
My name is Robert West, and I'm with Film the Police. I work with Mike Smith, and I'm a volunteer. And the Portland Police has been amazing down there. Violent crime is way down. One concern I have is with what he just showed up there. If you do put planter boxes, then you'll have intoxicated people deciding they want to dance on it, falling in front of cars and stuff. One incident that happened was they had an incident where someone was being arrested, and a group of people didn't want that person arrested. And there was the police were, due to there were so many police there, and the bouncers came over to assist the police. We were there filming and stuff, and the group that wanted to, that felt the guy was wrongfully arrested wound up backing off. If it was just one or two officers that was there that would respond to a call, it could have turned out a lot worse. I see a lot of people, they enjoy themselves and stuff like that. I talk to the pedicabbers and stuff. They like it open. They didn't like the alternative because it put them out of business. And that's what they told me. So that's, Film the Police. We try to work hand-in-hand with the police. We film them, and some of them don't like it. Some of them do. And our main purpose is to get everything on film. If an officer does something wrong, we film him. If someone does something to an officer or does something wrong, we film that. So we try to be neutral as to what we film and what we don't film. So with that, I'll conclude.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Dan, welcome.
Well, hi. Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Dan Lindzen, and I'm going to read from a prepared statement here. As a professional, I'm a principal partner with the Concept Entertainment Group, Foresight Development Real Estate, and Venture Hospitality, representing property and businesses in Old Town Chinatown since 1986. We also have business in two other states. As a professional volunteerist, I'm representing the Old Town Chinatown Hospitality Group, OTHG. This is a coalition of 36 restaurants, bars, and clubs in Old Town. This is a subcommittee of the Old Town Chinatown Neighborhood Association. I also currently have a position on the board of the Old Town Chinatown Neighborhood Association. I participated in the street closure pilot project advisory group since its inception. Mayor, thank you for championing that group, as it's offered an opportunity to put people at the table who otherwise may have limited communication. Thank you, Chad Stover, for shepherding the group. And we all thank the entertainment detail for their efforts in and out of the closure and the newfound collaborations that have been occurring. In 2012 and 2013, I gave to City Hall recommendations from our businesses for physical modifications to the street closure on 3rd Avenue, a couple weeks ago, they came to life and were modeled through the tireless efforts of Better Block PDX. The result of this large-scale experiment was that it simply worked, day and night. Huge praise to this team of volunteers who have a shared dream of a better old town. The street closure has clearly affected crime statistics in the area, as it has been reported. The street closure has also negatively impacted businesses in and out. The weekend impression has affected and extended its impact to include weekday business decreases. It was often said of the current ordinance that it needed to work for all parties involved. We now have recognition and input that it has not. We need something else. There's recommendations by many community organizations to let the current ordinance sunset. Temporary solutions have been recommended. Now we have before us another proposed ordinance. The Old Town Hospitality Group can be in support of the proposed ordinance, as it seems to be a compromise solution. Recognizing Portland Police Bureau and the Mayor's Office will be flexible with the boundaries and time schedule, immediately testing alternatives gives business owners encouragement that things will change for the better. Immediate implementation of the recommendations and those that may result from a new advisor group are the hope that the businesses within the closure have that the loss of business income and employment, which has occurred, may be reversed. Old Town Hospitality Group and other neighbors are looking forward to a permanent 24/7 solution to traffic management in this area to tame the mishmash of lane changes from 2 to 3 to 6 wide from Northwest Everett to Southwest Ashe. This solution could be a bridge between the beleaguered North Old Town to the more active south of Burnside Old Town. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to you today.
Thank you. Appreciate your help. Thank you. Questions? Okay. And sorry. Others?
Yes. The next three are Chris Martin, Karen Bowler, and Gerard McAleese.
Okay. Come on
and
up.
And the last person who signed up will be Ryan Hoshagen.
Welcome. Hi.
So, good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. Crossed into afternoon now. My name is Chris Martin. I'm a local resident, parent, business owner, and I'm here representing as a steering committee member for Safe Nightlife Advocacy Partnership, a coalition working to reduce high-risk drinking and improve safety in Portland's nightlife. SNAP formed 2 years ago when Multnomah County received a grant to work on high-risk drinking issues. And we are made up of people from ONI, Portland Police, healthcare professionals, public health and substance abuse professionals, neighbors, and parents. We also just received a grant for $625,000 to work for another 5 years on high-risk drinking. We urge the council not to lose sight that high-risk drinking is a leading factor in most crime and livability concerns that prompted the street closure, and there are best practices approaches to reduce high-risk drinking while supporting a vibrant, well-balanced nightlife. We want to commend the mayor and the council for recognizing the need for a proactive approach to nightlife design. We also want to acknowledge the collaboration and great work that is occurring between the Portland Police Bureau's Entertainment Detail Office, who have worked with us to increase over-service enforcement and develop nightlife-specific over-service prevention training, and the emerging Old Town Hospitality Group that is working to establish shared best practices to raise standards among operators. As SNAP, we have four recommendations. The first one is build on and formalize the collaboration that is occurring. We've seen great work from public staff. We'd like to recognize the entertainment detail, Sergeant Strohmeyer and the officers on that detail, the office at ONI, Teresa Marchetti, Mike Boyer, and also Rob Cruiser from the fire department. They have done great work that we've seen, and we'd like that formalized into some kind of office when those staff people leave, that great work continues. Increase education and training is our second recommendation. Promote smart policy, and finally, we'll be developing a messaging campaign around high-risk drinking. As far as the street closure, we have seen the benefits of the street closure for public safety and encourage public safety to be the major consideration in any changes or alterations to the street closure. At the same time, we have heard concerns of business owners and residents and encourage further experimentation to find a permanent design to the street closure that serves and addresses public safety, but also promotes healthy business and residents.
Great. Thank you very much. Yep. Welcome.
Hey, good afternoon. My name is Jared McAleese from Kell's Irish Restaurant and Pub on 2nd Avenue. Been a person living down there in that community for the last 25 years. And the street closure, I am glad the City of Portland and the Portland Police have put a lot of effort and time into that neighborhood in the last few years especially. We've had a few bad incidents that happened down there throughout the years with I think we've had a shooting there for every 2 months for the last 3 years, and the street closure hasn't helped that in any way whatsoever. I think the traffic that the street closure took off the street of 3rd Avenue has went on to Front Avenue and Broadway, and so it's impacted other streets besides just 3rd Avenue. I've been in, we've had restaurants in Seattle in the Pike Street Market, and we're going to do something like this in the market, and there's a lot of pedestrians go into that neighborhood, 80,000 people in one given weekend, and they keep that particular area opened with one lane with lots of parking, as much as they can squeeze in there. I like the street closure itself, the scale down, the speed of the traffic. But I think it's not, it wasn't very good as far as the impact that it impacted the weekend for my business and other businesses on the same street as 2nd Avenue, and Southwest 2nd Avenue, that is. I've been in San Diego quite a few times, and they have the old gas lamp area down there, as well as Vancouver, Canada. They have a gas lamp area as well. And the majority of the streets for pedestrians are all done with crosswalks like they were speaking about here. But I think going down to one lane in particular on 3rd Avenue is just asking for more trouble. I think it's a great idea to have stop signs. And we do have an event once a year around St. Patrick's Day where we put out a stop sign on 2nd Avenue on Ash and on Pine Street to slow the traffic down. And it's helped tremendously without having a lot of police having to be around there as well, although it is lovely to see the police officers being on a walking duty around the neighborhood to keep the crime down as it stands. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hello. My name is Karen Bowler. I own Tube on 3rd Avenue between Burnside and Cooch. I took over Tube December 1st, so I cannot speak to what our numbers would have been before the street closure. What I can say is that we're just as busy on weekdays as we are weekends, so I can't say that the closure is indicative of improved business. We have very few customers before 11 p.m., yet we reach capacity nearly every night. So for us, the only way for us to grow our business is to be able to open and get customers earlier in the evening. The biggest challenge we've experienced with the closure is at close, when we're responsible for keeping the area in front of our bar clear and all the other bars empty, and it feels like the street closure encourages lingering of people, and it's very hard to empty people out of the district. During the Better Block experiment, we experienced a marked difference in the flow of pedestrians emptying the district. Our security said it was the easiest time they had closing, and the following weekend they were really disappointed that we weren't continuing that. The experiment isn't without its flaws. I realized there was nowhere for me to unload heavy boxes into our business during the day, which was really inconvenient for me. But I do recommend more experimentation and feel confident we can find a better solution. I think we have an opportunity to design a world-class entertainment destination that makes the neighborhood more dynamic at all hours rather than just closing off the streets for 10 hours a week. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thanks.
The last person was Ryan Hashhagen.
Okay. Anyone else? Come on up.
Hello. Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Ryan Hashhagen. I'm the owner of Portland Pedicabs, Icicle Tricycles, and Cargo Bike Couriers, located at 345 Northwest Everett, right at the intersection of 3rd and Everett. We've been located there in Old Town, in the heart of Old Town, for the last 6 years, and I've seen this 3rd Avenue safety program and the changes in the neighborhood firsthand. I'd like to thank the Old Town Chinatown Community Association, the mayor's office, Chad Stover, and the Entertainment District Stakeholder Advisory Group, and the Portland Police Bureau for their leadership on public safety in our neighborhood and implementing this program. I've previously supported